You know, because of what Jesus has done, we have access into the throne room of God. Amen? Jesus has made the way. The veil is rent in two. And the Bible says we can come with confidence. Amen? We don't come sort of cap in hand, as it were. We come with confidence as a child of God. And it says we come with confidence to the throne of grace. That has never changed. That is unending, and there's grace upon grace upon grace. It says thereby that we may receive. Amen? God is a giving God. And so with confidence we come to his throne of grace, and it says that we may obtain and receive grace to help in time of need. Amen? Any of us need that? And that's what we can do. Because of what Jesus has done, with confidence, we can come right into the throne room of God the Father, God Almighty, and we obtain something from him. And it is his grace that helps us in every circumstance and every situation of our life. Now, I'm going to speak this morning about encouragement. Now, I started this word before all the events that happened in our lives over this last week or so. And the thing is, see, the strange thing about the Word of God is that every Word of God, every promise of God, you can guarantee will be challenged, okay? And particularly if you're going to get up and preach it, you can guarantee. Now, I was preparing this word on encouragement before it all happened, so I'm kind of preaching to myself. Is that all right? Okay, you can listen in if you want. But I'm kind of just preaching to myself a little bit, all right? You're never out of the will of God to encourage one another, okay? Now, it is important how and with what we encourage one another, but it is important to recognize that all of us can be, you know, some of us sort of say, well, he's got this ministry and she's got that ministry, but all of us can encourage one another in the Lord, amen, without exception. And I'm going to look at, first of all, at 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 15 to 17. 1 Samuel 23, 15 to 17. We know that David had been anointed king. Samuel had gone down to Bethlehem, and after all the other brothers had been passed by and overlooked, they brought Samuel from the field. David was brought from the field and Samuel anointed him king. And of course, that was a promise of God. That was the call of God. And of course, it was going to be challenged, because at that moment in time, Saul was king. And there was a price on David's head. Saul was out against him. 1 Samuel 23, verse 15 says, "So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest." That's where he was hiding. There was a price on his head. That was the situation of not a pleasant one. Even though he had the promise of God, the call of God, he was in a dire strait. And verse 16 says, "Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, 'Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that.'" And firstly, we see, because of David and Jonathan's relationship, which we find mentioned, and you don't need to turn to it or look at it, 1 Samuel 18, verse 1 says that the soul of Jonathan was knit, or literally bound, to the soul of David. And so there was a relationship here. And out of that love relationship, out of that bond relationship, Jonathan had a concern. And it says that he arose and went to David. Now notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, "If he needs me, he knows where I am." Hello? Well, he has my number. Jonathan was aware of the situation in David's life. And because of that love relationship, he actually arose and went to where David was. He went to the person who was in need, who was in the situation. That says to me he was totally aware of the situation that David was in and all that was going on in his life. In other words, he wasn't just wrapped up with himself. And of course, he had challenges himself. You know, here he was, the son of Saul, and yet he had this love relationship, this bond with David. Do you not think that caused problems in the family? But he was aware of more than himself. He was aware of David. And you see, in the body of Christ, we need to have that kind of David and Jonathan relationship. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26 says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And it's that kind of relationship. We are in this together. Because the problem can be that, like David, you know, you can sort of say, well, I'm going through this and I'm isolated and I'm alone. But Jonathan made sure that that wasn't the case. He arose and went to David where he was. And this wonderful phrase that we find in 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 16, and he strengthened his hand in God. What a wonderful statement. What a ministry that is. That you can be the vehicle that God can use to strengthen someone's hand in God. Absolutely tremendous. But what did he do? It's one thing to say, well, I'm going to encourage David. I'm going to strengthen his hand in God. But what actually did he do that meant that this was the result? What did he do that imparted strength? What did he do that encouraged David where he was? And verse 17 says this, and he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. He reminded David of the promise of God. Very simple, isn't it? David could have been so wrapped up in everything else that was going on that he could have lost sight of that. But Jonathan came to him where he was, and he reminded him, do you not remember the day and the hour that Samuel came to your home and anointed you to be king over Israel? And no matter what my father does or tries to do, it won't succeed. You will be king. Why? Because God said it. That's how he strengthened his hand in God. He strengthened it with the word of the Lord. He didn't say, well, don't worry, it'll be all right. He reminded him of the promise of God. This is important. You see, Jonathan strengthened David's hand with the word of God for his life. Now, I was an assistant pastor in Australia for a while, in a church there. And, you know, people often come to you and sort of say, you know, Pastor, God's given me this promise. And I would go away and I would write it down with their name. Or somebody might come and give them a prophecy over their life. And I used to go and stand by. I wasn't being nosy. Well, it was. But I used to listen to it. And I'd go away and I'd write it down with their name. Because sure as anything, the minute you say, that promise is for me, I receive that from the Lord, somewhere along the line, the enemy will challenge that word. Situations will come, like with David, and it will seem the furthest thing away. It'll seem further away than it ever has been. And I used to go to my book and look their name, and I would go to them and say, do you not remember on this date you shared that promise with me? Do you remember that Sunday night when that prophecy was given over your life And I used to remind them of the promise of God. I want to encourage you to be that kind of encourager. Amen? Listen to what people say. Listen to the promise that they share with you. Oh, God said this to me. Note it. Because when the battle comes and the struggle comes, you can go like Jonathan with them and strengthen their hand by simply saying, God said this to you. Do you remember you shared that with me? And strengthen their hand in God with the word of God. When Moses knew that he would not be the one to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, the Lord gave Moses an instruction in Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 28. Now, I'm sure there was disappointment in Moses, you know. You know, he had brought them out of Egypt, he had brought them through the wilderness, and because of his disobedience, he could not enter the land. And there must have been disappointment. And it would have been so easy to sort of say, well, you know, leave it up to them. You know, my day is done. And yet God gives him this instruction, and it says this in Deuteronomy 3, verse 28, but command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. Here's this young man, relatively speaking, taking over the leadership of a nation to bring them into the promised land. And the Lord says, I want you, if you like, as the elder statesman, to actually go to him and strengthen him and encourage him for the service of the Lord. Encourage him, strengthen him, for he shall go over before his people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which he will see. And I'm sure Joshua had all sorts of doubts. This awesome responsibility of this whole nation. And yet Moses goes to him and under the command of God encourages him and strengthens him. All of us, no matter what our service is in the body of Christ, no matter how great or how small we may perceive that to be, need to be encouraged in it. Amen? Whatever it is, it's not just the preacher, it's not just the worship group. Everybody in the body of Christ, because every joint is a joint of supply, needs to be encouraged in it with the word of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. It says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's so important, isn't it? Beloved, we need one another. You know? Yes, we've got the Lord, but he's put us in a body. We need one another. So it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. You see, together, what we have is corporate faith. When my faith is low or my faith is weak, we have corporate faith. We have strength that can be imparted, encouragement that can be imparted. Prayer together, says as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another or encouraging and then strengthening one another. And listen to this little last phrase, so much the more as you see the day or the day of the Lord approaching. So the further we get into the end times, we don't do it less, we need to do it more. Because of all that's going on the face of the earth, we need to be together and we need to be encouragers and exhorters of one another. So all of us, without exception, need to, in God, encourage one another with the word of the Lord. But it's not just about encouraging one another. We need to do that. Essential though that is, there's another important area that we need to look at. In 1 Samuel chapter 30 and the first six verses, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 to 6, and here's an absolutely disastrous situation, again in the life of David. and the people that were with him. 1 Samuel 30, verse 1 says, "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill everyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive." What a disaster situation. Can you imagine? You're kind of just away doing the work of the Lord, and you come back, and you're faced with your house and your city and all burnt down, and your wives and your children, you're absolutely just taken captive. So David and his men came to the city, was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and all their daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. You can understand that, can't you? An absolute disaster. Bereft of everything. Lost absolutely everything. No more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, have been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. I could get into that. Isn't it amazing when something goes wrong, they blame the leaders? If we hadn't have gone with you, we would have been here to protect our families. That's literally what they were saying. Because, and it came out of, it says, as a soul that was grieving. That's what it came out of. Deep, deep sorrow. You can understand that. Every man for his sons and his daughters. Listen to this last little phrase. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. We need one another. We need to be encouragers of one another with the word of the Lord. We need to strengthen one another in God. But there are situations, beloved, and we need to learn to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Amen? It's wonderful, as I said, and essential to have others encourage us. But all of us need to come to a place in Christ where we know how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18. Nehemiah is sharing the vision of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem with the people. Immense task. Jerusalem had been burned with fire, all its walls destroyed. And Nehemiah 2 verse 18 says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me." So he shared the vision, he shared the purpose that God had showed him. And so they said, "Let us rise up and build." They caught a hold of, if you like, of the vision. They caught a hold of the purpose. Said, "Let us." They didn't sort of say to Nehemiah, "Well, you know, all the best." But they joined in what God was doing. They were a part, an essential part of all that God was doing. Then they strengthened their hands for this good work. If we're going to see the purpose of God fulfilled in this generation before the coming of the Lord, all of us need to be involved in the work of the Lord. In whatever capacity that is, all of us need to be involved in the work of the Lord. And in order to do that, we need to learn how to strengthen our hands for this good work that God has called us to do. How do I encourage myself? See, it's not about wishful thinking. It's not a hope so. It's primarily the Word of God. What does God say about you? What does God say about your situation? But there's more than that. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 20, it gives us a key for building ourselves up. Jude 1 verse 20, but beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. God has given us, by the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit, the means of encouraging and building ourselves up. Because there are situations that can surround us that so easily we can get consumed with. Doesn't that happen? Immense situations that would seek to consume our attention and consume our thoughts. And the Lord has given us, through the Holy Spirit, the ability to strengthen ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 2 to 4, talks about this. For he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. For he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies, that is, builds up, encourages, and strengthens himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. You see, the wonderful thing about praying in other tongues is that it is the right prayer. Amen? When I'm so consumed with all that's going on, I don't even know how to pray. The Spirit of God prays, and it's the right prayer. Amen? What a wonderful gift that the Lord has given us. When we're at our weakest, when we're at our lowest ebb, we have the means through the Holy Spirit to actually pray right into the situation the right prayer, because it is the Spirit praying and not me. And there are situations where we all get hurt, and some of the kinds of prayers we want to pray are not actually edifying. I know none of you have ever been there. But then we can pray in tongues. Because why? Because it's the right prayer. It's a prayer that edifies. It's a prayer that strengthens. It's a prayer that builds up. It's a prayer that comforts. But it comforts and builds up and strengthens you. See, to prophesy builds up the church. But when I pray in other tongues, it builds up and strengthens me. And boy, I tell you, do we need this in these days more and more and more than ever before? God has made it available to us through the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 14, we have both prophecy, the word of God that encourages, builds up individuals or the whole church, and tongues, which builds up and encourages the person who is speaking in other tongues. But both are all about encouragement. Encouraging others and encouraging ourselves. About learning, no matter what situation, no matter what circumstance may befall us, no matter what comes into our lives, no matter what happens on the face of the earth, we have the means through the body of Christ, and through praying in other tongues, through the word of the Lord, the means to encourage ourselves and build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Now let me close this morning with this scripture. It's an unusual, but a wonderful scripture. It's in Genesis chapter 48, verses 1 and 2. And I'll just ask just to leave it on the screen or as right to the end of the service. An unusual but a wonderful scripture, Genesis 48, verses 1 to 2. Now it came to pass, after these things that Joseph was told, indeed your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you, And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on his bed. Wonderful scripture, but an unusual one. Something interesting happened in verse 2. And if you take nothing else from this morning, please take this scripture. Something interesting happened in verse 2. Listen to it. It was Israel, not Jacob, that got up. Please note it. Jacob lay down, but Israel got up. In each of us, there is a Jacob and an Israel. There is the natural man, and there is the spiritual man. There is the flesh, and there is the spirit. And the flesh of the natural man can lie down under circumstances, but the purpose of God is that the spirit man will rise up no matter what. Amen? And that's there. In all of us as blood-bought believers, that is there. And the Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit. And the flesh would rather sit down and say, oh, poor me. Look at my situation. It's all falling apart. But within you is Israel. And no matter what the situation, here's the man at the point of death, but Israel rose up. And beloved, there needs to be in all of us a rising up in the midst of the situations of life, no matter what, that we might rise up and overcome in the Lord. Amen? Jacob, the natural man, the flesh, can easily be discouraged. The enemy doesn't have to do much to discourage the natural man or the fleshly man. But it is at those times that the Israel, the spiritual man, the spirit needs to rise up and be a blessing that the Lord has purposed us to be. See, it'd be so easy to sort of say, well, you know, I'm going through this, doesn't matter. I'll just wait till it kind of all passes. You know, and it doesn't matter if I'm at church or not. I'm so caught up with my situations, you know. They wouldn't really miss me anyway. That's such a lie from the pit of hell. And it's at those times that we need to choose to be Israel. Amen? It's at those times we need to make a choice and a decision and say, in God, I'm going to rise up and overcome. In God, I'm actually going to be the blessing and the encouragement that God has called me to be. Doesn't matter what I'm going through. Let Israel rise up. Why do I need encouragement? Why do I need to learn to encourage myself? Simply in order to fulfill the purpose of God for your life. God has got a purpose for your life. Sometimes that can seem a million miles away. But God hasn't changed his mind. He's got a purpose for your life. The enemy will seek to use discouragement more than any other weapon to hinder and halt the purpose of God for your life. But with and by the word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can rise up and see the work of God fulfilled both in and through our lives.